Stoneman and Company on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Gabe Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt here with you today. Jared Stoneman still on vacation. He'll be back next week. Ian Safar taking an early weekend, as he absolutely deserves. He'll be back next week as well. And as you might have heard during the break, you can join Joe Dubin today in an hour at 4 o'clock at Yazoo Brewing Company at 900 River Bluff Drive in Madison from 4 to 6 as he gives away tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Def Leppard, Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. Also gets signed up for the grand prize tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. So Big Joe will be out there from 4 to 6. Yazoo Brewing Company, 900 River Bluff Drive in Madison. I believe this is the first of four consecutive Thursdays for the ticket tour. Next week, July 25th, Big Joe will be at MJ's Sports Bar and Grill in Murfreesboro. So if you can't make it out to Madison, and you can make it out to Murfreesboro, Big Joe will be there next Thursday. So, Teron, this is the AFC Hour. I want to take a segment to break down each of the other AFC South teams, and we'll use the final segment to look at the rest of the AFC. So we'll start at the top of the AFC South, the Houston Texans. Great story, worst to first last season. C.J. Stroud, unbelievable rookie season. That team got even deeper during the offseason. They added Joe Mixon from Cincinnati. They added Stephon Diggs from Buffalo. I had completely forgotten on the other side of the ball that they added Danielle Hunter. Mm-hmm. Danico Autry and his 11.5 sacks are now a member of the Houston Texans. There's a lot to like on paper from the Houston Texans. So when you look at that team, I look at this roster. We read a story earlier this week, Jake and I, from Bill Barnwell talking about trendy Super Bowl picks on ESPN.com, and number one on that list was the Houston Texans. Yeah. They meet all the criteria. So when you look at this Houston Texans team on paper, should we be considering them that sexy, trendy Super Bowl pick in 2024?
I think you absolutely should consider them an option, you know, a favorite to come out of the AFC. Now, going against the Chiefs is a different story. And also, this year, they are the ones doing the hunting.
Yes.
Or getting hunted,
yes,
rather.
The hunter has become the hunted.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now, as the AFC South Division title team, like every week, they're getting teams that the best shot is coming, you know, and they're the team to beat undeniably in this division. Now, for me, when I look at it, the talent, there's such an abundance of talent. And they were very talented last year. But you look at the inflow of talents that you mentioned. I think when you look at just starting with that defensive line, I mean, Will Anderson is an outstanding player, right? Defensive rookie of the year. This team, by the way, defensive and offensive rookie of the year.
Yes.
Last year. So there's a lot to be built upon. And the thing that's pretty cool about this is C.J. Stroud is on that rookie contract. So guess what the team could do? Continue to build around him and invest money, because you don't have that quarterback taking that large chunk of the salary cap. So you have that. Danielle Hunter coming in, replacing Jonathan Greenard, is a huge plus for them. It's actually an upgrade, and I like Greenard. We had him on Talking with TD, you know, when he was coming into the draft. So that's not to say he's not a good player, but Hunter is just a better one. So those are some of the things to look at. I think this team playing that first place schedule, it's going to be a different situation this year. The teams that they're facing are going to be a little bit tougher, so we'll see how they can manage.
So the big move that the Texans made in the offseason was trading for Stephon Diggs, who appeared, you know, it appeared the time had come for him to leave Buffalo. It just felt like there was some sort of disconnect between him and Josh Allen. His effectiveness, especially last season, I feel like it was night and day first half of the season, second half of the season. He just was not the top-tier receiver that we've known him to be, especially down the stretch for the Buffalo Bills. So when you add Diggs to a receiving core that already has Nico Collins and Tank Dell, a really good receiving core. So how could this move – how do you think this move will refresh Stephon Diggs? And do you think we see the old Stephon Diggs – in Houston with just being able to get a fresh start.
During the break, you had mentioned, you know, we were talking about Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Right? I think Stephon Diggs is kind of like a Russell Westbrook of the NFL.
Yes, Russell Westbrook traded today from the Clippers to the Jazz, who are going to buy him out so he can sign with the Nuggets.
But yes. I think you have – it's a talented player, and just like, why are teams giving up on him and moving him? You know what I mean? I think that's what you have with Diggs. He's only going to make C.J. Stroud – he should make him better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have a guy like Diggs, and I think Will Levis kind of fell victim to this a bit last year, where it's like, okay, I'm looking at Hopkins. I'm looking at D-Hop.
Right.
I'm looking at D-Hop. Stroud has to avoid that. So it could be a gift and a curse, you know, and I think if Stroud is able to just throw to the open person and Diggs is able to understand that and not, you know, have that reaction that he has had at times when he didn't get the football, then they'll be fine. But if things go wrong and this team doesn't win, you wonder, okay, how is Diggs going to be? And you have some young receivers. Tank Dell, by the way, he had 735 yards. He was on pace for 1,200 last year, you know, before he got hurt.
Right.
Nico Collins established himself as a really good player, you know, a really good wide receiver. Another talking with TD guy that we had on. Then you also look at Dalton Schultz, who became kind of like that security blanket.
Right.
That guy working the middle of the field on third down situations. So there's a lot of – and, oh, by the way, Joe Mixon is running the football.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of mouths that need to be fed. Now, they always say a closed mouth doesn't get fed.
Right.
We'll see how that applies to this situation because, you know, if like I said, if things don't go right, man, Diggs could get – you know, it could get a little bad.
We saw that near the end in Buffalo
when
things weren't going well. Definitely appeared to be a rift with him and Josh Allen, and your number one receiver and your starting quarterback absolutely have to be on the same page. On the defensive side of the ball, you mentioned Will Anderson. We've mentioned Danielle Hunter. They bring in DeNico Autry.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that defensive line? Like, where do you feel like that line ranks, that pass rush ranks in the NFL?
I think it's pretty high.
Yeah.
And look, Autry is one of those guys. He just continues to get it done. He just gets it done. And I would hate to go against him because he's relentless. He's a goon, man. Like, the dude, he specializes in messing things up. So you got that. They signed Fatu Kasi. You know, they brought him over. Tim Settle is another one. I remember him coming out of Virginia Tech, very talented. He was only like 20 years old when he came out. It never really hit for him, but he's a big presence in the middle of that line. And then you look at the depth that they had. Mario Edwards gave them some good gave the Titans some good play, you know, in this season that he was here. You got Derek Barnett, who they brought in from the Eagles. Jerry Hughes. Like, this is a team that has plenty of depth. And the line, in fact, it reminds me of the line that the Eagles had in 2017 where they just kept fresh guys just continuously coming at you. And come the fourth quarter, offensive linemen were getting worn down because they got a whole group, you know, that you could continue to rotate and still have solid play from each of them.
They also brought in Azeez Al-Shaair. We talk about DeNico Autry. Shaair, also now a member of the Houston Texans. Let's finish on C.J. Stroud. As you said, offensive rookie of the year, absolutely incredible, you know, rise over the course of the season. Jake and I were reading MVP odds on ESPN Bet yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think he has the third highest odds to be regular season MVP. I think it was Mahomes, Josh Allen, and then C.J. Stroud were the top three in terms of odds for a regular season MVP. There's going to be, as you mentioned, first place schedule. Teams know what they're dealing with now with C.J. Stroud. A lot of pressure. Based on what you've seen and what you know of C.J. Stroud, how do you think he's going to handle that?
Yeah, he lit it up last year. But real quick, just to finish up the defense, Jeff Okudah replacing Steven Nelson. I think Okudah is a guy that you look at DeNico Ryans, DeMeco Ryans, and his coaching style and how he's able to pull stuff out of guy. Watch Jeff Okudah. I want to see what he does. He's on a prove-it deal. But to get back to C.J. Stroud, for me, like, one of the things I always like about – getting to talk to these guys is learning their story. Now, I haven't talked to C.J. Stroud personally, but I know DJ Bienemé, our ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter, and a lot of others have unearthed the story, you know, about his dad and what he's faced with his dad. You know, his dad has been incarcerated for quite some time. You look at the environment that C.J. Stroud, he grew up in, it wasn't the best. A lot of times when you have guys like that, right, what is a game to somebody like that? You know what I mean? What is a game? What is the adversity that you encounter in a game to the adversity of not being able to have your dad there? You know what I mean? Because he's incarcerated. So I think when you look at those types of things, I feel the pressure. It won't be too much. And I feel like he has that swagger. I remember that press conference he had where he was like, you know, we want people to be able to come to the games and we're going to win. Like, we're going to win around here. That's gone. We want you to have pride in coming to Reliant Stadium, and we're gonna win some games for you. And this was before he even went out and made an NFL throw. You know what I mean? That confidence and that ability to, you know, deliver the way he did, I think that's superb.
Yeah, the Texans are absolutely a team to watch. One of the trendy Super Bowl picks based off of their worst to first run last season, going, I believe they were 3-13-1 two seasons ago to 10-7 last season. And it feels like the sky's the limit for CJ Stroud. 615-737-1025. We'll move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars and what Teron thinks of the Jags after a disappointing season. They were in the position last season that the Texans are in this season.
Right.
We'll talk about the Jags and what Teron expects from that team down in Jacksonville. Adam Vingan, Teron Davenport, in for Jared today, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Adam Vingan, Teron Davenport,
I like
jamming.
Music. Yeah, this is a throwback, man. Old school Run DMC.
A little
yeah,
Run
man.
DMC
yeah.
for TD on
yeah,
the way
listen,
back.
I appreciate it.
We're doing our AFC South breakdown. We did the Houston Texans in the first segment. We're moving on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who unveiled their Prowler throwback uniforms today, going back to the Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor days. Mm-hmm. They're pretty sharp, man. I mean, teams go throwback, I think, too much now. It's kind of lost its steam a little bit, but they were nice. They look nice.
Yeah.
Brought me back to those, you know, mid to late 90s.
Those jerseys were dope. I remember Aaron Beasley, you know, Donovan Darius. Like, that team was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Obviously, the receivers, man. Jimmy Smith, who, look, man, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Like, come on, man. Come on, what are we doing here? Keenan McCardle also.
Yeah.
Like, that team was loaded, man.
It was a good team. And the Jaguars entered last season in the same position the Texans find themselves in this season. Of course, as Titans fans know full well, the Jaguars caught the Titans when the Titans were losing, what, 7 consecutive games down the stretch? They won the last game of the season. They won the AFC South. And there was a lot of hype around the Jaguars this time last year. Trevor Lawrence had a great back half of the season to lead the Jaguars to the AFC South title. And they were in a good position last season. I think they were 8-3 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to a Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals team. Lawrence gets hurt. I think they won one game the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It just completely bottomed out for them. And look, when you lose your starting quarterback, who got paid this summer, by the way. He got paid. When you lose a starting quarterback, it's going to hurt. And I don't really have a great read on this team. I mean, obviously they lost Calvin Ridley. He's here now. Zay Jones is gone. They bring in Gabe Davis from Buffalo. They drafted Brian Thomas Jr. You know, they have one of the best pass rushers in the league in Josh Hines Allen. It feels like the defense is a weakness for that team, on paper at least. It feels like, as a whole, the Jaguars are a team with, like, middle of the road, like, on paper. Their roster is like a middle of the road team.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you have Trevor Lawrence, who now has the pressure of being one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, you know, if he can be that quarterback we saw the back half of the 2022 season, and I think at least the beginning of last season before he was hurt, when they were 8-3. I mean, they have a shot. But what's your read on the Jacksonville Jaguars this season?
No, you're 100%. The roster is not upper echelon, is not a part of that group. But there are some good players on there. But I think that they are very different from the team that was entering last year.
Yeah.
And you look at just how things went last season, it gives you reason to believe that, you know, I don't think that this is a team that could get back to the AFC South division title. And mm-hmm. some of the additions that you talked about are good, but losing to Calvin Ridley, like, you lose a high degree of explosiveness. Now, Gabe Davis, you know, in certain situations, he was good for the Bills.
Great deep threat, right?
Is he really a consistent deep threat, a consistent player? No.
No, I don't think so.
You know, but then Brian Thomas, I like that pick, and he led the nation in touchdowns, you know, receiving last year. He's a guy that I think could come in and be a good weapon for Trevor Lawrence. But I think having that big deal, is Trevor Lawrence really that guy that's going to take and elevate everybody else's game? That's the question that I think is no.
What is it about Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback? Look, as we know, in the NFL, it's not who gets paid. It's not the best player who gets paid. It's the next player who gets mm-hmm. paid. Like, Trevor Lawrence was next in line for the big deal,
yeah,
and he got it. But what are your reservations about Trevor Lawrence as that quarterback who can elevate a team that may not have as much talent on paper and get them to play above their expectations?
I think it's the consistency.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. He's very talented. I mean, he doesn't get enough credit for his wheels. Like, he could run and create, you know, and pick up yards that way. But it's just the consistency that's not there. And I don't know it's a tough situation for them to be in because, like you said, he's the next player, not the best player, but he's the next player. And he's a guy that I look at as he's always going to keep them good enough to not get his replacement.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. I mean, think of the quarterbacks. We mentioned Mark Brunell earlier in the segment. He was a consistent quarterback, a good quarterback mm-hmm. for a while. And, you know, there was the ill-fated drafting of Blake Bortles. It just feels like who was starting for them? Was Bortles starting before Lawrence? I can't remember the timeline here. Who was the quarterback in Jacksonville?
Yeah, Bortles, and then they had Gardner Minshew.
That's right, Minshew. How could I forget? Minshew magic.
Before you had Blaine Gabbert, who ended up being a backup here. With
Foles was in there at one point, too.
Yeah, Foles,
oh,
too.
Oh, man.
Yep,
Foles. Yeah, they cycled through some interesting quarterbacks, to say the least. And at least, as you mentioned, they have someone in Lawrence who they can put in that position and not necessarily have to worry about quarterback. But I think your question is the question a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Is Trevor Lawrence the player that can raise a team to a Super Bowl? Joey from Bellevue says the only thing Lawrence will elevate is his hair. LOL. I mean, he does have a luscious head of hair as someone who doesn't have much hair.
I'll tell you a funny story. So Jacksonville at the stadium, sometimes to get to the field, like, you have to go through like this crazy maze.
Yeah,
it's crazy sometimes. And so I was trying to find a back channel way to get to the field, and I walk through these rooms, and then I open this door and I walk in, and who's sitting there eating a big plate of spaghetti? Trevor Lawrence. And I was like, oh, my bad. And he just started laughing, and then I kept going, man. Funny story. But I think when you look at Evan Engram, mm-hmm. also, he's their weapon. You know, he's their guy, and he elevated into one of the best tight ends. And that's always going to be good for Trevor Lawrence, having a guy like that. So I think they'll perform, they'll put up points, but it's just, like I said, the consistency, that's the big problem.
I mean, they've got plenty of speed, right? Between on the offensive side of the ball, between Davis, Thomas, and Travis Etienne, mm-hmm. they got a lot of speed. I mean,
Etienne's
that's something
a playmaker,
that, man. Yeah, they got a lot of speed there. I wonder how much more Trevor Lawrence will be throwing deep, more vertical passes this season with that speed. What about on defense? I feel like they didn't do much on defense. They signed Ronald Darby early in free agency.
You got Eric Armstead.
What do you think about them on the defensive side of the
ball? So defensively, that's where, when they had their down years, that's where you saw them really address things, mm-hmm. right? And, I mean, obviously, how could we not start with the man who's now known as Josh Hines Allen?
Yes. Great player.
He is a problem. Yeah. You know what I mean? Rushing the passer. But then you have, you know, on the opposite side of him, Trevon Walker, who he may not get all the sacks, but he's a relentless guy also. And then you look at the adding on, you know, Eric Armstead, a big presence there in the middle of the field. He's going to middle of the line, rather. He's going to make the quarterbacks have to reset and shuffle to find passing lanes. Armstead was clearly a playmaker with the 49ers. I don't know what happened there, but whatever. He's now with the Jaguars, and that's a big acquisition. But I'm going to tell you a couple guys, because we're talking about the way they addressed the defense mm-hmm. when they were bad. So, you know, you used, obviously, a high pick on Josh Hines-Allen, Trevon Walker. But that Devin Lloyd is a really good cover linebacker. And he's someone that, you know, you could use to match up against tight ends and those type of things, against backs out of the backfield. That matchup, if they go man him against Pollard and Spears, is going to be fun to watch. But also one of the guys that they – two other guys that they use high picks on, Andre Sisco. You know, he was, if I'm not mistaken, a third-round pick out of Syracuse, and very consistent safety, a ball hawk. Having him there is good. Tyson Campbell is a solid corner as well, you know, coming out of Georgia. I was pretty high on him. I thought he was a first-round prospect. He was taken in a high second. So you have that. But Foye Olukun.
Okay.
He averages about 360 tackles a year. Mm-hmm. Like, that dude is a playmaking machine all over the field. Great size. They signed him as a free agent from the Falcons, and he just came in and plugged into that defense and has just been making plays. I like what they have. You know, Ronald Darby is a guy. He's been playing forever, man. Yeah. Darby's been in the league for, I would say, probably about 9 years now.
Yeah, seems
you know
like
what
it.
I mean? So that acquisition was good. His defense is solid, man. I just don't know that the offense could carry their side of it. I think defensively they're in really good shape.
Yeah, the offense is the question. When you lose Calvin Ridley and the way he performed for Trevor Lawrence last year, you're right about Gabe Davis. A good player in spurts. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll have a game where it's like four receptions for 160 yards and two touchdowns, and then you might not hear from him for 5 or 6 weeks. So yeah. He gets all of his production in one game. Then he kind of goes quiet for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one thing that I'm curious, because I know Devin Duvernay came. I don't know. Is Jamal Agnew, I don't know where he went, if he's still with them or not. But like, that's interesting if he's not there in the return game, because he's quite a playmaker there for them. Looks like Devin Duvernay is now their guy in the return game. I don't know where Agnew went, but I know – Mike Vrabel, you know, a lot of times when we would talk to him on Jaguars week, he would always mention Agnew and mention how, you know, special teams coverage, it's important because this dude will hurt you. So I don't know where he went, but not having him is going to be interesting. Duvernay has been a solid returner for the Ravens.
Yeah.
I remember him coming out of Texas. Another guy talking with TD. but I remember him coming out of Texas. You know, he was a state champ in high school in the 100 and 200, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, we'll see what he could do in the return aspect.
Did he not have a big return against the Titans last season, I feel like?
He did. Yeah, he did.
That name sounded familiar. Yep. 615-737-1025. Text us with your questions for Teron. The 4 o'clock hour will be basically the Ask Teron hour. I want to get all of his thoughts on the Titans. But we're moving on in the AFC South. We've covered the Texans. We've covered the Jaguars. We're going to cover another interesting team, a team I feel like gets an inordinate amount of hype based relative to what they've been able to do on the field, the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get to the Colts next. Adam Ving and Teron Davenport in for Jared today, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stoneman and Company on ESPN 102.5. 106.3 The Game. Adam Bingen, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt, and for Jared and Ian today. Ian, who holds this show together every day from 2 to 6, also needs a little time away before he gets full training camp. Jared, once training camp starts next week, Jared will be back on Monday. So we're going through the AFC South. We went through the Houston Texans. Last segment, we talked about the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we have arrived on a team that I feel like gets an inordinate amount of hype on a regular basis around this time, the Indianapolis Colts. I feel like there's always this expectation that the Colts are going to be a very good team, and at least recently, it has not gone that way.
Yeah.
Now, Anthony Richardson played, what, four games last year? Four-plus games before being injured and missing the season, but showed a lot of...
He met Harold Landry.
Showed a lot of promise in that first quarter of the season before he was injured. A lot of expectation on Anthony Richardson. I look at this team, you know, they've got, I would call it a promising receiving core. You know, A.D. Mitchell, Josh Downs, Michael Pittman. I feel like a lot of potential there for that to be a good group, whether or not they realize it is another question. You know, I feel like their offensive line rebounded in a big way last season, led by Quentin Nelson, which is a big part of the team. As Titans fans know, you need to have a good offensive line. But, you know, I look at this team. I see a roster, as I said, that has a lot of potential. Like, if a lot of guys hit, I feel like the Colts can be a team to contend with. Yeah. But I feel like it's kind of up in the air whether or not they can meet that potential.
Yeah, it all comes down to Anthony Richardson
right.
and his health. I know there was talk about the sore shoulder that he had during training camp. For what I've been told, you know, he's in good shape. Stephen Holder, he's immensely plugged in there, ESPN NFL Nation Colts reporter. And we talk a lot, and he's especially plugged in with Anthony Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And what he told me was that Richardson is good to go. There aren't issues. Yeah, there was some soreness, but that's to be expected. So I think when you have that guy in there, the main thing that they have to figure out is balancing that, taking advantage of his playmaking ability
yeah.
and scaling him back at the same time, like keeping him healthy. And as I mentioned, he met Harold Landry, but yes. that was on, you know, one of the read options, and he ran and Landry set that edge and he took him and he dunked him in the turf and, you know, go figure, he's gone for the year. So there's a gift and a curse there with Anthony Richardson, but he's a playmaker, man. He's a lot similar to Cam Newton, obviously.
Right. Well, I mean, what's the balance there? Because you're right. I mean, his natural ability, his decision-making, you know, his running ability, obviously, it's next level. Like, there are not very many quarterbacks that can do what Anthony Richardson does as a pure athlete. And we saw last year, even, like, I think it was in his first game, right, he got knocked out for a little bit but came back. Or he got knocked out near the end of the game, came back the following week.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about, like, are they going to protect this guy? How are they going to protect this guy? From himself, maybe, because he's going to want to go out there and make the big play. But as you said, meeting Harold Landry, that's a fate most men don't want to meet. So what's the balance there for not just the coaching staff of the Colts, but Anthony Richardson himself saying, look, I know I have the opportunity to make this highlight reel play, but I also set myself up for a huge risk of injury if I do it. So how do they figure out that balance?
Yeah, I think the main thing is understanding that sometimes the journey is over, right? And living to see another play and then appreciating what you have, you know, as far as these guys, these playmakers. Jonathan Taylor remains one of the best backs. You mentioned the young receivers, you know. You look at their tight end group. Jelani Woods talking with TD.
Noticing a theme here.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. But, you know, you look at him, you look at Mo Alley Cox, Kylan Granson. These are all guys at the tight end group that can make plays. So sometimes you have to understand, look, man, let me get the ball to them and let them take the hits. That's what they're paid to do. My job is to distribute it. So getting that full understanding is something that is going to take a bit, but that's what the staff has to work on.
On defense, I feel like Zaire Franklin, you know, is one of the more underrated linebackers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He had 12 tackles. I remember he had 12 tackles in the game against the Titans at Indianapolis. I just remember watching that game. I was like, this guy is everywhere.
All over the place. And EJ Speed, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're guys that they have in the middle of, like, that's – I'll put that against any other tandem in the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that group right there, they're your classic run and hit, chase and kill, chase and destroy linebackers, man.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on A.D. Mitchell? I mean,
yeah.
Michael Pittman, I feel like he's been in the league now for a few years. I feel like I could describe him as solid, fine,
right.
good receiver. But I feel like if they hit on A.D. Mitchell, I feel like they may have someone there that could become, you know, that franchise receiver for them that we've seen them have, you know, over the years.
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell, and he went to Cambridge for a year. He was right over there. But, you know, he's a dog. I really love, you know, at the combine, he was asked, you know, if they added a drill to the combine, what would he want? And he said one-on-ones. I love that. I love it. But from what I've been told, you know, he has shined in OTAs and minicamp. He's been making plays after plays after plays. So that's a good thing. And I love the way, you know, his game, if you think of like CeeDee Lamb, that same style of game to where like not – well, he is fast, you know. Yes. So a faster version of CeeDee Lamb, if you will. It's very similar to that type of play. And I love the way he works that back shoulder. Like, he could be a tremendous red zone threat too. So, yeah, the weapons are stockpiling for him. And Alec Pierce is still, you know, a deep threat, you know, that's in the mix too. Now, I don't know how much longer he's going to be there, but he's in the mix.
I feel like it's been a minute since the Colts had that, you know, that one receiver. Maybe since probably T.Y. Hilton, which was the name I was searching for previously.
T.Y., yeah.
T.Y. Hilton, I mean, it was Marvin Harrison early, you know, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, T.Y. Hilton was that guy for a long time. Feels like they've been missing that kind of receiver for the past few years. Yeah. So maybe A.D. Mitchell can be that. Are there any other players that stand out when you look at their roster? I mentioned Quentin Nelson, who's one of the best offensive linemen in the league.
You got to mention the battles he and Jeffrey Simmons. Epic.
Yeah.
Epic. They're beautiful to watch. You know, Simmons, you know, he oftentimes folds him up like a church banquet chair, but we'll get into all that. You mentioned T.Y. Hilton and the play that he brought. Actually, one of my college quarterbacks was his special teams coach.
Okay.
You know, at was it Florida International, I think it was?
I think that sounds right.
One of the schools. I always get the multiple.
I don't know if it was Florida Atlantic or Florida International.
It may have been Atlantic. But either way, he was his high school, I mean, college coach. But I mentioned special teams because Anthony Gold out of Oregon State, you talk about guys with burners, like with jets attached to their cleats. This dude is that. Now, he's a wide receiver, but he's their returner. And I was hoping the Titans would get him because I really liked his game. But that's a dude that is just flying under the radar. But I guarantee you he has a return, and he makes a play in special teams. Now, defensively, I've always been a fan of Julian Blackman. I also like Juju Brents, who is a long corner. It's his second year in the league. But I want to talk about Latu.
Okay.
And this guy was the most polished pass rusher in this year's draft. And if it wasn't for him at one point being medically retired, he may have gone even higher than he went. But he was the first, if I'm not mistaken, the first defensive player taken. And you talk about just moves on top of moves and being able to, you know, get to the passer and just be instinctive. It's going to be interesting watching he, Quiddy Pay, and you know, DeForest Buckner, that group, like those guys, and even Samson Ebukam. These guys all could get to the quarterback. So I like what the Colts have. Kenny Moore, you can't overlook him as a nickel either. So they're in good shape, but it goes back to what we said. Anthony Richardson is health.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be interested to see what the Colts do to try to rein in some of Richardson's impulses, where he might have the opportunity to make a highlight reel play, but you don't want to get injured. And by the way, T.Y. Hilton did attend Florida International University. So you had that right. 615-737-1025. Coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to make it your hour. We've already got some questions rolling in for Teron on the text line, 615-737-1025. If you want to get your questions in early, please feel free to do so. But now we've wrapped up the AFC South. We're going to talk about the rest of the AFC. Which teams is Teron bullish on? We'll look at, you know, well, there's the obvious ones like the Chiefs and such, but we're going to dig into some of the other teams that could make some noise in the AFC that maybe we're not talking enough about. Adam Vingan, Teron Davenport, in for Jared today, 1025, 1063, the game. Stillman and Company on ESPN, 1025, 1063, the game. Adam Vingan, Teron Davenport, in today for Jared. Before we get to the rest of the AFC, Ben is on the line with a question for TD. Ben, go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. And guys, I appreciate you taking the call. I just want to say I know a lot of people are down on the Jamal Adams signing, and not as many people are happy about the Kenneth Murray thing, but I wanted to get TD's thoughts. I mean, with what it seems like this new D coordinator's game plan is going to be, we're going to be a blitzkrieg defense, probably blitzing 60% of the time or more. I mean, if we get five or more sacks out of Jamal Adams playing nickel linebacker and playing maybe big nickel when we're running three safeties, and if Kenneth Murray is coming in on the inside blitz, I just really think he knows downhill is how these guys need to play. I think this is going to be a lot more beneficial to the defense than people think. I'm not expecting Pro Bowl or All Pro, but I do think this D coordinator knows how to use them, and I just want to get your thoughts on that, TD. Thanks, guys.
Ben, thank you for the call, and thank you for being such an informed fan of this game that we call football, man. He is spot on 100%. The Jamal Adams signing is contextual, right? Understand that he's not being signed to be the replacement for Amani Hooker or the fill-in for Elijah Molden. And what he mentioned about the big nickel is something that I have thought about as well.
Now, explain that to me as a novice in this
area.
So,
big nickel, instead of having Roger McCreary as the nickel, like instead of having a third cornerback, you have a third safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that is good for – well, the thing is, McCreary, he plays so well against the run, so you don't have to use it as much. But that is good for playing against the run, but also when you want to send him on the blitz, you know, that nickel back on the blitz. That's a good situation for the Titans situationally. And that's – I keep saying contextually and situationally because Jamal Adams is good with certain usage. Kenneth Murray is good for certain – he has certain purposes. We've talked about it together on this show. He's the guy. Go bust stuff up, man. That's your job. You see that? Go mess up what they're doing. And I think when you allow him to play downhill instead of being someone that reads and reacts, you just let him attack, that is working to his favor. And as Ben said, Denard Wilson, that's what he wants to do, attack, attack, attack. So he got players. They brought players in that – do just that, attack. Like, that's their specialist. That's what they do best.
Thank you for the call, Ben. And the next hour will be Teron, Ask Teron, basically. We've already got some texts lined up. If you have questions for Teron, we're going to get to as many as we can in the next hour. We want to make it about you. Take advantage of Teron being here, 615-737-1025. So we've gone through the AFC South. I wanted to ask you about a couple teams in the outside of the AFC South and the AFC. I think one that a lot of people are going to be focusing on this season and the team the Titans are going to see in their home opener in week two is the New York Jets. I mean, obviously, the return of Aaron Rodgers after, what, five snaps last season before tearing his Achilles. There was a lot of interest in what the Jets were going to do last season when you have Aaron Rodgers with Garrett Wilson. You know, I'm a big Breece Hall guy. Mm-hmm. I love what I saw from last season. I actually, we could talk about this in the next hour, but I was talking about, you know, what a good ceiling would be for Tajay Spears. And the player that came to mind was Breece Hall. If Tajay Spears can become a Breece Hall-like player, I feel like that would be a boon for the Titans. Now, you can tell me if I'm off base by thinking that those two players are comparable, and if Tajay Spears can get up to Breece Hall levels.
Yeah, I think the best comp for Tajay Spears is actually Aaron Jones.
Okay.
You know, who is now in Minnesota.
He went from Green Bay to Minnesota.
Their styles of play is very similar. But, I mean, Breece Hall, like, he's a good back. I think
love watching him play.
He was in the top five, I want to say, of Jeremy Fowler's running backs.
I think he was
list.
Number two, actually.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But he's still, like, he's a good back.
Really good back.
Yeah.
But that Jets team is going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of attention, because it's the Jets, but also how Aaron Rodgers will rebound after his injury shortened season. Now, this is something I know that you can tell me. Have they figured out the Hassan Reddick situation?
No, and that's the thing I'm curious about, you know, because if you add him to that defense, you know, Jermaine Johnson, a solid player, but you add him to that defense, like, that pass rush is elevated because he's another guy, a top 10 pass rusher in this league. I don't know what happened to Philly, like why they you know, traded him. But either way, you know, he's still a playmaker, and that defense is solid on all three levels. So
yes,
it's going to be interesting watching that. This is going to be a huge test for the Titans offense.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game. And I think the Jets opened the season in San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
before coming to Nashville for week two. So they'll have so the Jets will have played a tough opener against the Niners before coming to Nashville in week two. You know, another team that's going to have a lot of attention. There's always a worst to first, a team that goes from the last place in their division to first place in their division. After losing Joe Burrow last season, the Cincinnati Bengals fell to the bottom of the division. He's back. We know how explosive that offense is. You know, do you think that the Bengals have the best chance of being that team to go from last place in their division to first place?
I don't know about the best. I think the Titans have a pretty good chance,
okay,
too. But, I mean, look, they're definitely up there, and the talent is there. And obviously the question is going to be, how do you replace Tyler Boyd?
Mm-hmm.
And they did draft a guy by the name of Jermaine Burton. And mm-hmm. I know, you know, coming out of Alabama, you know, I know there are issues around him. But as far as the football player, he's a playmaker. So any offense, you know, when you have Joe Burrow throwing the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, like, that's always going to be a problem for teams on Sundays, Thursdays, and Mondays. But and the defense is in good shape, too. I think they're a strong candidate to turn things around. Injuries were like,
yes,
the primary thing last year.
For
so when
sure
you have that cooking, it definitely is ripe for a resurrection.
Look,
so
Brian Callahan got a lot out of Jake Browning last season,
yeah,
near the end, but there's only so much you can squeeze out of Jake Browning in terms of winning football games. You mentioned during the break you wanted to talk a little bit about the Ravens. We started the show obviously talking about Derrick Henry. He's there now. Lamar Jackson. I mean, that's a team that has always been in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
You expect the same this year?
Yeah, and I think the defense would be good. You know, obviously, you know, Patrick Queen, he moved on to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But Trenton Simpson, the guy they drafted out of Clemson a couple years ago, like, he's been waiting in line, and he's just going to come in. But my thing is, it goes back to what we started with, and that's Derrick Henry. I think when you put in, I know they're shotgun heavy, but Todd Monken, you know what you do? You got a guy who's one of the best backs in the league. You change the offense a little bit to feature what
yeah
he does well. Like, it's checkers, not chess, you know. But I think when you look at Derrick Henry in that mix with Lamar Jackson, now, how many times did we see them run stretch play? So when that's like out off, you know, it is kind of like off tackle.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, get him in the alley, get him in space. They did that a lot, right? But a lot of times you didn't see Tannehill or Levis pull it and run. Now, the few times that Tannehill did, he got, like, pretty nice gains because the defense is all flowing to Derrick Henry,
mm-hmm,
right? And so you have the focus there. But when you have a Lamar Jackson that could run the way he does, if he pulls it and you don't have somebody dedicated to where he is, yeah, it's a house call. You know what I mean?
For
anywhere in the stadium. So I say all that to say it's going to be interesting watching Derrick Henry go against 10 defenders as opposed to 11, because you're going to have one covering, you know, dedicated. I stutter because I saw my guy DJ Bienname on TV. Glad he got a hit. But you're going to see that one guy dedicated to Lamar Jackson. So that's going to open up things for Derrick Henry. And then you have the continuing development of Zay Flowers. You know, Mark Andrews,
yep,
back healthy. And you can't forget Isaiah Likely. That 12 personnel, you know, is definitely. And Rashad Bateman is apparently looking a lot better. So you got Nelson Aguilar in the mix. So it's going to be fun watching that. But John Harbaugh, to me, consistently, if they did one of these things on the top coaches, like, Harbaugh year in and year out needs to be ranked among, at a minimum, top five coaches. He's one of the best coaches in the league.
It's been a minute since the Ravens, I feel like, had a featured back like Derrick Henry. You probably have to go back to Ray Rice since the last time. I mean, they've cycled through, what, J.K. Dobbins, Gus mm-hmm Edwards. They've
injuries,
had guys.
Yeah.
They've had guys that can handle it, but nothing like Derrick Henry. You're right. It's going to be really fascinating to watch Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and what they can do offensively. 615-737-1025. This is the Ask TD Hour. The 4 o'clock hour is your hour. If you've got questions for Teron, text us, call us, 615 737-1025. We already have a few questions waiting in the text line. I want more. I want to see the text line flooded with questions for Teron and the phone line as well. This is your opportunity to pick Teron's brain. Adam Vingan, Teron Davenport, in for Jared today, ESPN 1025-1063, The Game.